Thank you,
Thank you,
Zoom
Zoom
lady.
Lady. Happy Halloween, Zoom Lady. Hello, everyone. We are back for another heinous Halloween. Woo! We've got a few different people across a few different calls yet again. This is our life now. I am Jess or Jessie or Jessica, I guess, whatever. I wrote the thing, you know. And with me on this call, we have AJ
Hi.
and Dio,
Hello.
Antoine.
Greetings.
And on this one, sorry. Oh God. Okay,
Amet,
great. And then also Matt.
so nice you get him twice.
yeah.
Hey.
Two. Oh.
Yeah. This is call number two. Naomi and Maria are here. Yay. Hello.
Hello.
Cool.
So I forgot to record an intro on Zoom, but anyway, this is the third call, and Jamie's also here.
Hey, what's up? It's James. It's me, your favorite child impersonator.
So, yeah, great to have everybody here. It's going to be a real fun time, and I just think we should, as per usual, just get right into it. I would like to present Heinous Investigations in colon The Call of Cthulhu. It's Halloween in Haynesbury, and Rachel and Benji are preparing some homemade costumes in the drawing room of the Hendrickson house.
Okay, I think my costume is done. Or maybe it needs more glitter. What do you think, Benji?
I think we're out of crepe paper.
As the junior investigators ponder their crafting conundrums, Frank enters, followed by Ginny.
Hey there, kiddos! How's the costume creation going? Nice paper flames, Benji! And Rachel, that is one impressive witch outfit. The fangs are not here to stay, gang. This is awful.
You gave it a good old college try,
I
and you
gave it
know
a
what?
try.
There
Yep.
were, yeah, to be clear for people who aren't seeing this, Dio had fangs on for a couple seconds.
I did. I did. They don't work. Nice paper flames, Benji! And Rachel, that is one impressive witch outfit.
Yes, it's so cute, and it has just the right amount of glitter.
Thank you very much.
And Benji, you're doing a great job on your, sorry. What are you supposed to be?
Late stage capitalism. I want it to be something scary this year.
Anyway,
We want to have the best costumes possible for Mr. Henriksen's big Halloween party tonight.
You know that party's only for grown-ups, right?
Doesn't mean we can't sneak in.
Huh. I respect the determination, but I don't think you'll have much fun at this party.
Why not?
And from who knows where within the house, Algy onto the scene.
I heard somebody mention a party.
I'd say that's a pretty good indicator.
Hi, Algy. Would you mind explaining what your plans are for Martin's party?
Oh, you know, the usual. Drink, flirt, make choices that should regret later, but probably won't.
See, kids, does that sound fun to you?
Not really.
Hey, why is it that every time I drop in on a conversation around here, it suddenly becomes dis-algae time? Like you guys were gonna do something mind like you guys were gonna do something mind-blowingly impressive tonight.
Actually, I was going to try and hold a séance.
And I was going to record said seance with every device at my disposal.
Ooh, I do that. Sounds spooky.
And educational.
Okay, I guess some people like that kind of thing, but you can keep me out of it. I put up with enough creepy stuff on a daily basis.
No worries, friend. And maybe we can convince Marty to open the place up to all ages for an hour. Seems like no matter what, tonight's gonna be a real rager.
As fate would have it, Martin and Liza come on the scene. Liza is wearing a large backpack-style animal carrier. The other investigators, singularly focused on parties, don't notice.
Hey guys, looks like everybody's feeling the holiday spirit.
Oh, well, you know us. We can be very festive, especially when we have something fun to look forward to.
Well said, Ginny, and I couldn't agree more. Halloween is one of my favorite times of year, you know.
Oh, we know.
And speaking of, I have some exciting news.
Oh, is it about a certain epic celebration of autumnal, vaguely frightening nature?
One that you'll invite kids to?
Especially ones with excellent handmade costumes.
Martin looks at them for a moment in confusion, blinks, then the concept clicks. Oh, right, the annual Halloween party. I suppose that's part of the news. I'm not throwing one this year.
What?
I'm sorry, I guess that isn't entirely true. I'm funding a community celebration in town, which, of course, everyone of all ages is welcome to attend, but I don't plan on hosting anything at home. In fact, I have another equally important engagement in mind for this year. Liza?
I thought you'd never ask.
Liza reaches into the carrier pack to produce a little gray cat.
Ta-da!
The cat slowly blinks at the investigators with wide heterochromic eyes. The investigators stare back in bewilderment before Rachel pipes up.
But why is it here?
Yeah, I'm confused.
Right, I should probably explain. Heinous Investigations and Junior Investigators, allow me to introduce you to the Mayor of Hainsbury.
Now I'm even more confused.
Was I the only one who thought that Martin was the mayor?
I think you might need to explain that explanation, Martin.
Agreed. All right, here goes. It's no secret that the Henriksen family has essentially been keeping Hainsbury running since the town was founded. It wasn't long before a town council was established for community and politically oriented decisions, and eventually a sheriff was elected to handle law enforcement. All in all, the people of Hainsbury never really saw the need to elect a mayor. So, quite early on in the town's history, some of the locals thought that it would be funny to elect a cat as mayor. What started as a one-off joke eventually turned into consistent elections of a cat mayor every few years, and well, you know how it is with Hainsbury, small, superstitious town. When you do something enough times, it becomes tradition, and the minute it becomes tradition, it becomes near impossible to let go.
Okay. But what does any of that have to do with not throwing a Halloween party?
Part of the tradition is that every Halloween, someone in town volunteers to host Mr. Mayor in their home. This year, Martin volunteered.
From his place in Liza's arms, Mr. Mayor nudges Martin with his head, to which Martin responds with a proud, doofy smile. The honor is all mine, Mr. Mayor.
This is easily the weirdest you in this town have ever been, Marty.
And we're sure there's no chance that we can cat sit and party?
I was really looking forward to that séance.
Aw, come on, guys. I know it's not our usual Halloween activity, but it can still be fun. We can still make snacks, get cozy on the couch, maybe watch some spooky movies. Mr. Mayor's a sweet little guy. He'll spend all his time snuggling up with us or curled up in a corner nearby. I mean, unless you want to play with him.
As if to demonstrate this point, Rachel and Benji are holding a pipe cleaner from their costume supply stash out to Mr. Mayor, who has jumped out of Liza's arms to gently but playfully bat at the object with his paw.
Oh, we are prepared to play with this cat for as long as we possibly can.
Yeah, we have all weekend to show off these awesome costumes. For now, let's gear up for an introverted evening.
Lead the way, kids. Come on, Mr. Mayor.
The cat jumps into Martin's arms and lets out a little contented squeak. Huh, I guess we'll be right behind you. As the group walks away, Martin looks back at Algy, Ginny, and Frank. We'll see you three later. The trio looks at him and each other with uneasiness. None of them want to admit their dissatisfaction. Martin signs their paychecks and lets them live in his house rent-free.
Yeah.
Sure.
Desperate to cope with the evening's dashed plans, the three investigators go their separate ways. Ginny finds herself in her bedroom, where she sits on her bed and gathers her knitting supplies around her, along with a partially finished project.
I guess if we're gonna be cozy tonight, I might as well make my own blanket to be cozy in. Time for some much-needed crafting therapy.
She gets to work quickly and easily, adding row after row to her blanket while humming a little song until she hears the sound of her door slowly creaking open, followed by the pitter-patter of tiny furry feet on the floor.
Hello? I'm really hoping that's you, Algie. If you're trying to scare me, it's not going to work.
A floorboard squeaks agonizingly, gratingly slowly. Jenny cautiously peeks over the side of the bed.
Algie?
Suddenly, like a tiny fluffy cannonball from beneath the bed, Mr. Mayor jumps up straight past Jenny's head, just barely grazing her ear. The cat starts rolling around in Jenny's knitting setup, tangling the yarn and batting at the needles until they topple over the side of the bed, taking half of the blanket with it.
Hey, stop that. Don't you have your own yarn to mess with? I don't want to play with you right now.
In his playful frenzy, Mr. Mayor falls over the side of the bed.
Oh!
The cat springs back up and zooms out of the room, Jenny looking after him, then back at the mess he made of her knitting in dismay.
You're lucky you're cute.
Meanwhile, Frank has gone back to his happy place, the lab. He tinkers with some kind of wacky-looking mechanism that resembles a quantum imaging system crossed with a slinky crossed with a fidget spinner. Wrap your head around that one.
Man, I don't know why everybody thinks interdimensional physics is so hard. Maybe I should, like, work for some major university or government or something. Nah.
From some unknown corner of the lab, a loud meow, not even going to try that, not at this moment, reverberates through the air, making Frank jump in surprise.
Okay, Mr. Mayor. I know you're around here somewhere, and while I don't mind the company, it'll work out a lot better for both of us if I could see you. Marty will never forgive me if I end up launching one of Haynesbury's most important citizens into another dimension.
Silence for a moment. Followed by another, I'll do it better this time, meow. But no other sounds of movement.
For the love of the atom. All right, little guy, time for a round of hide and seek. You should know that I'm very good at this game. The lab hasn't been organized in years, but I know it like the back of my hand.
Frank dashes into the lab in search of the chatty feline. And several minutes later, not only is the entire place in disarray, but the cat is still nowhere to be found. Frank sits on the floor in a pile of tools, papers, and gadgets, looking cartoonishly disoriented.
Okay, I guess you're really good at this game, too.
He flops onto his back and stares up at the ceiling, and it is at this moment that Mr. Mayor trots into view, purring and rubbing up against Frank's side. He then licks Frank on the cheek and saunters away and out the door of the lab. Frank stays starfished on the floor as he goes.
Well played.
Our story shifts to focus on our final dejected investigator. Algie sulks in the drawing room, sprawled across the sofa and mindlessly scrolling on his phone.
Bored. So bored. Partylessly bored.
He continues to scroll until he catches a shape out of the corner of his eye. You see a pattern here. Algie looks up from his screen to see Mr. Mayor staring him down and purring, prepared to pounce.
Hey, cat, I can see what you're doing, and I'll tell you now that you are gonna regret it if you...
Before he can finish talking, the cat lunges playfully at him, but he easily moves out of the way with a... sending the cat careening into the sofa. From the other side of the room, Algie looks at the disoriented cat.
I warned you. So much for cat-like reflexes, huh, you little...
Mr. Mayor turns around on the sofa and prepares to launch at Algie again, letting out a menacing yowl. Algie, for his life, and with the cat running out of the room after him, he makes his way clear across the house, ducking around a corner to hide. He peeks around to see if he was followed.
Whew. Lost him.
Hi, Algie.
Algie lurches with a start, then quickly turns around to see Ginny and Frank standing behind him.
Oh, it's just you guys. Think you could have gotten my attention without the jump scare?
Ginny just said hi. Your reaction is what made it a jump scare.
But we're sorry all the same. What were you running from?
What do you think? It's the cat from hell. It has some kind of beef with me. I know it does.
Yeah, I don't think it's just you.
Frank and I were just talking about the mayor. He's been causing nothing but trouble since he showed up, but we don't know what to do about it.
If I can make a suggestion, I have a go-to method when faced with these kinds of problems, and it has never steered me wrong.
Cut to the trio of investigators confronting a surprised Martin and Liza.
We're here to complain about the cat.
Mr. Mayor? Algy, look, I know you guys are bummed about the party being canceled, but I don't think you can blame it solely on a cat.
But he's not just a cat. He's an evil mastermind.
Why? What did he do?
He's been making a huge mess and chasing after us.
So he's being a cat.
Yes. I mean, no. I mean, it's definitely more sinister than that.
Cue Mr. Mayor running into the room and immediately hiding behind Liza and Martin. He pokes his head around them, rubs against their legs, and purrs. Yes, truly malicious. From behind Martin and Liza, there is a rustling within what Algy, Frank, and Ginny now recognize as a massive nest of blankets and pillows. Rachel and Benji emerge from the comfy pile, prepared to offer their opinion, as usual.
Is Mr. Mayor back? Come here, little guy. You're gonna want to get in this flawlessly designed blanket nest. Rachel outdid herself with the blueprint.
My vision was cozy paradise.
At the sight of the children and their cozy paradise, Mr. Mayor chirps and runs straight into the pile, flopping over for belly rubs, which to which Rachel and Benji happily oblige.
Good kitty.
Ma'am, that's just unfair. I'm telling you, that is no cat. It's a monster.
Algy, I promise that not every animal is out to get you.
Guys, you're totally allowed to be upset about this and to let us know it. Having an animal in the house is a big change. But do you think we could try to find a compromise just for the weekend? Mr. Mayor really is very sweet, if a little bit skittish. You just have to give him a chance.
You could do that if you stayed for movie night. Please.
The trio look at each other for a moment, then at the kids and the cat, who is looking especially innocent.
You know, I'm genuinely questioning why I'd ever let anything keep me from the opportunity to spout movie trivia atop a mess of blankets and pillows. Boot up the tube and give me 15 minutes.
Frank dashes off to who knows where.
I guess that means we're in.
I guess it does.
Cut to 10 minutes later. Algy up to Ginny's door with a bottle of liquor. He knocks, and Ginny answers wearing a bat onesie.
We're not going anywhere near that cat. Real party starts now. You in?
But we just put on our onesies.
We?
Frank appears behind Ginny wearing a dragon onesie.
Hey, Algy! You went in on the coordinated outfits bit? Ginny must have a dozen of these things here!
He waves his arms around to emphasize the majesty of his newly acquired attire.
Give me a second, I'm making a fan art note.
Hell yeah.
Coming this
Onesies.
Halloween.
Coming this Halloween. No, I'm trying to salvage some semblance of the night that we all wanted before Martin chose a walking furball over his friends. Don't you guys get tired of him always having the last word?
But he's kind of our boss.
Not outside of business hours, he's not. And I refuse to back down from a fight when it's relevant for me. There's still a chance for us to have something resembling fun this weekend, so let's do it. We can have the last word for once. What do you say?
I mean, the mayor was starting to grow on me.
And we did put a lot of effort into deciding on these outfits.
You can have your seance. Anything spooky that you want to do is totally fair game. Go for it.
Ginny and Frank ponder this for a moment.
Okay, Algy, we're in. You don't have to admit that you don't want to be alone.
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's what's happening? That actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah, count us in.
At this point, I'll take the win. Where should we have this thing?
Oh, I know the perfect place.
Cut to Ginny opening the door to the attic of the Hendrickson house. She turns on the light, which turns out to be one barely working bulb hanging in the middle of the room. Frank is unfazed, but Algy is unenthused, to say the least.
Well, this place is definitely scary enough.
I know, right? We light up a few lanterns, move some of this old furniture around, and it'll be seance time. Look!
Ginny takes a box out from behind her back and holds it aloft with pride.
You're going to do a seance with a Ouija board?
And I've got every detection device I need to make sure we make the most of every haunting moment.
Yep, definitely getting what I bargained for here. Don't regret it a bit.
Algy pops the top off of a bottle of bourbon and takes a slug of it. Meanwhile, Martin, Liza, and the junior investigators are watching a completely non-specific Halloween movie.
Huh. I'm not sure how realistic this town full of witches and mythical creatures is. Shouldn't it be more rowdy, but like in a fun way?
I'm curious to know how the skeleton drives that taxi cab without Ives. Eyes or optic nerves.
Sorry. Totally non-specific.
It could be anything. Who's
Yeah.
to say?
Could be anything.
It could be any city of Hallow's Eve.
Yes, that.
Do you think we should have talked to the rest of the team before taking Mr. Mayor in?
Well, I was the one who volunteered to take up the responsibility this year. Nobody else had to. Why do you ask?
I guess because it's just we aren't alone in this house anymore. We have other people, friends to think about, and maybe that means we can't always put Hainsbury first anymore either.
Not put Hainsbury first, but I've always, and they haven't. No, I suppose you're right. When they get here, we'll talk to them about what to do about the mayor for the rest of the weekend. Maybe I can make it up to them by treating everyone to a trip into town for the remaining Halloween festivities.
Sounds like a plan. And I bet they'll be happy to know that watching Mr. Mayor can. Wait, where is Mr. Mayor?
Back in the attic, the party trio begin their seance for dummies. Ginny and Algy sit on sorry. Ginny and Algy sit on the floor around the Ouija board, while Frank stands nearby monitoring a bunch of goofy gadgets that beep and hum and so on.
Okie dokie. Time to call upon entities from the great beyond. You good to go, Frank?
Testing, testing, 1, 2. Yes, ma'am, ready when you are.
Okay, here we go.
She leans forward and lightly touches the planchette, and then looks up at Algy, who is leaning as far away from the board as possible and still drinking.
Algy, a seance is supposed to be a group activity.
I'll do it. Definitely not scared at all and barely even tipsy at this point. Best party ever!
Algy moves forward and mirrors Ginny over the Ouija board. Ginny looks to Frank, who checks his machines and gives her a thumbs up. Ginny closes her eyes.
Hello. We're reaching out into the ether, I guess. Is there anyone here with us?
There is silence for a moment before the lanterns around the room flicker slightly and Frank's devices chirp, click, and hum in response. The planchette begins to move beneath Ginny and Algy's hands, causing the latter to jump back.
Jordan Peele's Nope.
Good. Anyway,
That was a good one.
yes.
Thanks, Dracula.
Anyway, the planchette stops moving.
Algy?
Crazy, but I don't think a good party would end with everyone involved being murdered by a ghost.
Actually, I didn't get good enough of a reading to determine if it was a ghost. Regardless, it looks like whatever it was got scared off. But I bet if you guys tried again, it'd come back. And that sure would make an epic story for Marty's next party. Don't you think, Algy?
Algy ponders this for a moment and easily gives in.
Ugh, why must my need for attention outweigh my survival instincts? Okay, one more time.
Okie.
They reset, and Ginny closes her eyes and speaks again.
Hi again, who or whatever you are. Could you repeat that last bit, please?
The planchette begins to move again, spelling out a strange sequence of letters.
What the hell is a the crafts a thought?
Good question. Let's ask it. Are you LaCraftsathot? Is that your name?
The planchette slides across the board to hover over the word yes.
Ooh, spooky. Love that for you. So, LaCraftsalot, I can call you LaCraftsalot. What are you?
The planchette moves to reveal another sequence of letters.
G-O-D. Oh, good. We pissed off a god on our first try.
He grabs the liquor bottle and takes another swig.
More accurately, as I've just learned from a quick text exchange with Elliot, LaCraftsalot is an eldritch creature with godlike powers who is supposedly trapped in a liminal space between realms. They can't cause much harm without a physical form to anchor them to this dimension.
His phone goes off with a little ping. He looks at it.
Oh, Elliot also says that we should stop summoning this particular entity before they acquire a vessel with which they may walk the earth and rain doom upon all living creatures. Ha! He always gets so worried. We'll probably be fine.
His phone bings again. He reads.
Frank, I am serious. Please strip.
Phone pings again.
Stop. I meant stop. Please do not strip. I do not understand these mobile teleports. Teleports. He's bad at texting.
Yeah. I mean, he's over 1,000 years old.
It's probably fine.
This is not what an eldritch presence wants to hear. The furniture in the attic begins to shake, releasing clouds of dust into the already stagnant air of the attic. The investigators cough.
Yeah, this is clearly the definition of fine.
Next, the bulb hanging from the attic ceiling and the various lanterns begin to flicker as Ginny levitates up in the air.
Oh!
Ginny, I don't know if the current conditions are super ideal for flying.
But I'm not doing this! Ah!
From across the room, Frank's various devices go haywire, emitting every noise and light possible.
Whoa, Nelly! These otherworldly entities sure like to escalate things quickly!
A few small objects, including the planchette and the bottle of liquor, begin flying around the room in random directions. Everything is in total chaos, which is quickly interrupted by a little scrabbling noise. The objects and Ginny hover in midair. Frank's machines settle down, and Algy hides behind a once again motionless chair.
What was that?
I think we know.
He's in the vents.
And then, fast as lightning, Mr. Mayor crashes through the air vent and into the attic. He runs around the room, bumping into various items, while the investigators can only watch in stunned, confused silence. The cat's wild moment of zoomies comes to an abrupt end as he gracelessly flops onto the Ouija board. The investigators' eyes go wide as the lights suddenly go out. What seems like an eternity later, they come back on. Every object and person is safely back on the ground. Frank's devices have settled back to zero, and most importantly, the cat is gone.
That was weird.
At least the monster is gone.
Yeah. Could you imagine what would have happened if we unleashed an ungodly horror onto the world?
I meant the cat.
I think that's a good place to pause this call and open up another one.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hope you're enjoying so far. All right, we will be back in just a second.
After these messages. Thanks, Zoom Lady.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. All right. The door to the attic suddenly swings open to reveal a slightly frantic Martin. Ha! Now I found you. I thought it was suspicious that none of you ever made it down for the movie. And then when I couldn't find you in your rooms, I knew that you were hiding out somewhere. What in the world have you been doing up here?
Halloween party?
So I take it you haven't seen the mayor then?
Well...
Nope, haven't seen him. Sorry for ditching movie night. That was a messed up thing for us to do. Let's fix that right now. Come on, guys.
That's thoughtful of you, Algy, but I actually thought that I should be the one to apologize. Before Martin can say any more, he feels his foot nudge something. He looks down to see a thin board that he instantly recognizes. Where did you get this Ouija board?
Oh, under a random floorboard here in the attic, actually. It's funny. I took it out of here planning on having a seance, and then we ended up doing it right back in this room.
You held a seance with that
Ouija board.
The way that you're saying that, the way that you're reacting right now makes me think that maybe that was a bad move.
Oh man, we probably should have seen that coming. I'm guessing the board's cursed.
Yes, the board is cursed. The last
Oh.
time the last time it was used, my cousins and I were dumb kids, thinking it'd be fun to play with it at a sleepover. Then a winged tentacled monstrosity nearly broke into our dimension through the microwave. The lights in the room begin to flicker again as Frank's devices begin to show signs of activity again, which he notes with some concern.
Well, as much as I'd love to hear the outcome of the story, I think we're about to deal with the sequel.
A large shadow looms in one corner of the room, and the investigators brace for the worst. The shadow begins to shift as something moves toward the investigators, laughing sinisterly.
Gaze upon me and tremble, weak earthly beings, for it is I, your malevolent lord, Lecraftsothot. And now that I have acquired a corporeal form, I can finally enact my plans to dominate your entire pathetic... What? Your stunned silence pleases me, but these sorts of proclamations are usually met with a fair amount of screaming.
The investigators stare at the intruder, dumbfounded.
Okay, this is actually one of the cutest things I've ever seen.
I don't understand. You will explain your meaning immediately, strangely effervescent vampire girl.
So how do I say this?
You possessed a cat, who is also the mayor.
Mayor? Is this some sort of ruler in your world?
Well, in most cases, there is some kind of authority involved, but...
Then this vessel is satisfactory. I will now use it to enact my plans for world domination.
So I'm genuinely not sure whether or not we should be scared right now. I mean, the cat is definitely more terrifying, but I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around the fluffy, tiny destroyer of worlds.
Lecraftsothot lets out a ferocious yowl and a hiss before pouncing at Algy with otherworldly speed. The possessed cat easily pushes Algy to the floor, knocking the wind out of him. The cat then moves with frightening speed and agility, kicking the tar out of each of the investigators before running out the door. Anyway. Ugh.
Well. These are the jokes, people.
These are the jokes.
It's comedy!
Ugh. Well, that hurts. All right, now that I've had a moment to collect myself, I am furious! I can't believe that I was actually starting to feel guilty about bringing Mr. Mayor in when you three were willing to cause all of this trouble behind my back!
You hadn't brought in the cat and had your big Halloween bash like always, maybe we wouldn't have had to have an unsupervised seance!
It did feel a little inconsiderate of you, Martin.
You kind of hit us with it from out of nowhere.
Inconsiderate? Oh, well, it seems to me that maybe you've all gotten too comfortable with my generosity and that you expect me to throw parties instead of asking for them. Please don't get me wrong. I love using what I have to make people happy, but I'm beginning to feel used. There's an awkward, lingering silence for a moment.
Martin.
There's an abrupt, loud commotion downstairs, which the investigators can hear all the way from the attic. They also hear the distressed sounds of Rachel and Denji.
Help!
Fellow investigators in distress!
The investigators spring into action, rushing downstairs and into the living room. They are met with an absolute mess. Blankets and pillows strewn about and furniture toppled over. Rachel and Benji, hearing the adults approach, emerge from behind a large armchair, looking panicked.
You made it! Good! So, Mr. Mayor has clearly been possessed by a powerful creature from a dimension beyond our own.
And they came in here and wrecked everything! And they took Liza!
What?
But how? They're just a little cat.
Actually, they're not that little. At least not anymore.
The sound of multiple loud thuds can be heard outside, starting close to the house, but quickly fading into the distance.
Oh, those are definitely giant footsteps.
Oh,
Shout out.
we're gonna have to go after the cat beast, aren't we?
Yes, we are. If we take the magjet, we can cut them off before they get too far into town. Now, let's put whatever grievances we might have aside and go save our friend, and maybe the rest of Hainsbury while we're at it. Martin rushes out the door with Frank, Ginny, and Rachel and Benji right behind. Algy is the last to follow, dragging his feet as much as he'll allow himself.
Man, I'm used to arguments spiraling out of control, but this is too much.
As the investigators give chase, the Kreftsothot storms their way into town, carrying Liza with their tail.
Town of Hainsbury, cower before me. Lecraftsothot and my
Really?
corporeal maiorly powers. I see your celebration of Hallows Eve in the near distance. I shall terrorize the festivities until you surrender to me. Is this not a perfect plan, hostage?
No, it's not even amusing. And as soon as my friends come to get me, we'll send you back from whence you came.
Really? No creature of your world could ever stop me. Witness my superior. Wait, why am I itchy?
Mist. Maybe it's magic, maybe it's something else, but either way, it works. And if it weren't for the fact that I'm afraid to hurt Mr. Mayor, I would have done something much worse. Not so great being corporeal now, huh?
I will not allow something so trivial to sow the seeds of my defeat.
The Kreftsothot begins scratching themselves all over, unfortunately not dropping Liza in the process. They rub up against the roof of the nearest building, ripping a large chunk of it off onto the ground, where more parts of it splinter off in all directions.
Hey, I don't care who or what you are. You do not have the right to destroy people's buildings. And you'd better believe I'm not going to let you get anywhere near the people themselves.
Neither you nor your friends can stop me. Also, you'd do a much better job as a hostage if you quietly feared me.
As the Kreftsothot resumes their invasion of Hainsbury, the familiar sci-fi soundscape of the magjet echoes through the nearby buildings and trees as the aircraft lands with surprising precision. The investigators swiftly emerge, prepared for action, or as close to prepared as they can be. Liza, we're here to save you, and the town, and Mr. Mayor. Honestly, it's fair to say that we have a lot of rescuing to do tonight, but we'd better get started. He makes a straight dash for the Kreftsothot.
I hate being reminded that my boss is insane.
Not any more than the rest of us, and maybe we'll remember that the next time we hurt his feelings.
Ginny gives Algy a look with daggers in it as she springs up and flies into the fray. And Algy is at the Kreftsothot's feet next to Martin, who is pushing futilely against one of the cat's enormous legs. Come on now. I know you aren't really Mr. Mayor, but rather an eldritch horror possessing his body. But you must have some instinct that would compel you to stop when I say stop. Algy, a little help here, please.
Yeah, I don't,
You'd get to fight the cat.
Thank you for the incentive.
Algy speed punches the nearest monster limb, making Lakratzothot release an angry yowl of pain.
Die! Die!
Wait, don't hit too hard. You could hurt Mr. Mayor.
So fight the cat, but don't hurt the cat. You guys know I don't do mixed signals.
Lakratzothot quickly spins around and bats at Martin and Algy with their supernaturally strong paws, knocking them both to the ground several feet away. Liza is a bit dizzy, but still entangled in the monster's tail. Ginny takes the opportunity to fly over and reach for her friend.
Hold on, Liza. I've almost got you.
Ugh, don't you people know when not to meddle with higher beings?
The Kreftsothot whips their tail, causing Liza to collide with Ginny and launching the latter into the nearest tree.
Ow! Okay, that was so cruel.
As the Kreftsothot attempts to continue on their way, they are impeded again, this time by Frank, who is using the OPA to shoot a high-strength grappling hook to lasso the Kreftsothot's back legs together.
Now what?
Bullseye! Okay, Benji, your turn. Think you can get the front legs?
He turns
Sure!
proudly to Benji, who is wielding the second OPA.
Sure! It's a particle density modulation device with access to extra-dimensional space, right?
Exactly, little bro.
Awesome.
He shoots the grappling hook, but it stops midair as a Katsutat breaks from the lasso and stares Benji and Frank down with deadly intensity.
But enough of these trivial rescue attempts.
The brothers are then levitated off the ground.
Well, this is unexpected. Frank, what should we do?
Based on my experience in the series thus far, hold on.
Frank manages to reach out and wrap Benji in a protective hug. With a quick turn of the head, Lakratzathot telekinetically hurls Frank and Benji off into the air. But before they can fall, they are caught in a large pink bubble, which floats gently down to the ground. The bubble pops, and both Frank and Benji emerge completely unharmed.
Phew! That was way too close. Frank, are you okay?
I'm okay if you're okay, bro. Thanks for the save, Rachel.
Really?
You're very welcome. Does this mean it's my turn? Because I have an idea I want to try.
Liza calls down to the gang from Lakratzathot's grasp. She is getting very disoriented.
Go for it.
Okay.
She walks into Lakratzathot and stares up at them without any fear.
Hi, I'm Rachel, and I'm going to try to wish you out of my new cat friend. Don't try to scare me because you'll only be disappointed.
She focuses all of her power on the Lakratzathot, and their form seems to warp and glitch, a guttural groan emerging from it, or them, I don't know, until all at once it stops. Rachel freezes, confused.
You're strong, little girl, but not practiced. Now I hope you'll all leave me to rule you and your town.
The Lakratzathot turns and continues into town with that smug little walk that every cat does after they know they've gotten away with something. The investigators, thrown for a loop, can do nothing but watch and follow at a safe distance.
Just putting it out there, it's really not fun to be the cause of a giant monster attack. Talk about tonight not going as planned.
Really, all we wanted was a totally harmless seance.
And all I wanted was to try and share a beloved Hainsbury tradition with you all. And have a long overdue visit with the mayor.
We just wanted to have fun.
Whether that was with ghosts or a cat was entirely up to chance.
They all look at Algy, expecting him to chime in.
Ugh, I get it. We spent all of our time arguing over how tonight should have gone, and now none of us get what we wanted. We all feel bad. I feel bad. Can we fix this now?
Please, Lakratzathot is moving further into town and is not stopping. Typical cat.
At these words, Liza has a sudden epiphany.
Hey, Martin!
Yes, I believe we just had the same thought. Rachel, do you think you can summon something from the house for me, please?
Yep, what is it?
And by extension, what is the plan? Because it sounds like you've got a good one.
Well, some of us wanted to play with the Ouija board. Some of us wanted to play with the cat. So I say, all right, let's play. Cut to a few short minutes later. The Lakratzathot is about halfway across town, causing minor property damage with every step of their big, fluffy paws. Liza is still firmly grasped in the monster's tail.
It seems like your so-called friends have finally fled. Clearly it was the only wise decision they made this evening.
Yes, very interesting, but counterpoint, who's a good kitty?
Liza, in spite of her limited mobility, manages to give Lakratzathot lots of scritches and pats.
That feels nice. Why does that feel nice? Stop! No, don't stop. I am a good kitty and I demand more pats!
From around the corner of a nearby church, the investigators look on in smug satisfaction.
Good work, Liza. I had a feeling Mr. Mayo was still in there somewhere, and I'm glad I wasn't the only one. Now, let's keep things going according to plan. Junior investigators, you're up.
Benji has been, or yeah, I'm trying to say, Benji scribbles some plans down in a notebook. Wow, I wrote that wrong.
Okay, I'm just about done.
He tears the page out of the notebook with swift precision.
Got it!
He hands the sketch over to Rachel, who looks at it with glee.
Oh yeah, I can definitely do this.
With the sound of a little chime and a slight ripple in reality, an enormous catnip mouse toy materializes directly in the Lakratzathot's line of vision.
This. Ooh, I like this. This will be the key to my new empire.
Then I guess you better grab it before it gets away. Go on, get it.
The cat's thought purrs, flops onto their side in the street, and starts batting at the catnip toy between their massive paws. The vibrations almost knock the investigators off their feet, while Liza is finally released from Lucrasathoth's suddenly very relaxed tail, rolling onto the ground as gracefully as she can manage.
Perfect distraction. Thanks, guys. I really hope you figured out how to fix this.
She runs behind some nearby trees for cover, relieved that Liza has found her way to safety. Martin turns to the other investigators. All right, let's try this one more time. Martin tosses the Ouija board on the ground in front of Ginny, Algy, and Frank. Ginny, would you mind taking charge, please?
Oh, you know I will.
Do you know how to banish a monster to another dimension?
No, but we didn't know how to summon one either, and here we are. I say we wing it.
The investigators sit around the Ouija board and place their hands on the planchette. Rachel and Benji lean over their shoulders to watch.
Okay. Lecrafsathot, we banish you to wherever it is you came from.
From the street, the Lecrafsathot senses subterfuge and emerges from their catnip-induced fog.
I mean, no! You will not defy me! I am an all-powerful being!
The Lecrafsathot lunges around the church and toward the investigators, paw raised to strike with monstrous claws drawn.
I think we need to put a little more willpower behind that banishment order!
Okay, we can do this. Lecrafsathot, you are banished! Be gone!
A large explosion of otherworldly energy ripples through the streets. The investigators shield themselves, and when the air clears, they look to see that Lecrafsathot is gone, and Mr. Mayor is safe if confused. Oh my God, I think we did it. Liza runs up to her fellow investigators, quick to point out one small detail.
You think? That was amazing. But why is Mr. Mayor still huge?
Mr. Mayor, emerging from his stupor, looks down at the investigators, lets out a sweet meow, meow, and purrs so loudly that it reverberates off the surrounding buildings.
I think he's trying to say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. But maybe don't make any sudden moves.
As cats are bound to do, Mr. Mayor completely ignores Ginny and proceeds to paw at the bell tower of the church, causing a series of loud dings before accidentally knocking the bell loose and onto the ground. He looks at the damage with a baffled chirp, then picks the bell up happily in his mouth.
Oh, that's gonna be one heck of a bill.
Honestly, I'm just glad I'm not the one being blamed for property damage for once.
No, bad, Mr. Mayor. Drop it. Don't make me tell your constituents.
Oh, I can fix that.
Rachel focuses, and within moments, Mr. Mayor is back to his normal size.
It's so much easier to shrink a normal cat.
That cat is still far from normal.
Mr. Mayor purrs and rubs against Rachel before playfully weaving between the other investigators, including Algy.
But I guess that's not such a bad thing.
Compared to the rest of us, I'd say the mayor fits right in.
And he's still very cute.
I knew you guys would warm up to him. You know, since we're all in town, we might as well check out the local Halloween festivities. Maybe salvage some of that party you guys wanted.
Oh, yes! But only if it's okay with Martin. We don't expect anything, but we can't help but ask.
Frank and Algy nod in apologetic agreement. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I think after that fiasco, we deserve to have some fun. Plus, it's worth mentioning that the mayor's annual caretakers get extra food and drinks for free.
Why couldn't you have led with that?
Who cares? For once, I'm over all the drama. Let's just enjoy the moment.
She gives a little bow toward the cat.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for your generosity.
So, when you say food and drinks, does that include candy?
and similar fall treats?
Well, you know how Hainsbury is with its traditions.
That's a yes. Let's go, Benji.
The junior investigators lead the way toward the Halloween fest, with the others following close behind.
And once again, the day is saved, thanks to the power of planning and communication that we should have had to begin with. We should really write a book on comedies of misunderstanding.
Mr. Mayor jumps into Martin's arms, and Martin pets his favorite elected official on the head.
Good to have you back, Mr. Mayor.
The end.
Yeah!
Yay!
So wholesome. So
This is
good.
the call to action. Everyone go out and pet your favorite elected official on the head.
Yeah! It'll work out great.
It'll
It
work
could.
fantastically. When they banished the
Crabs of
Kraftsothot,
thought.
all that went through my head was, "Be gone, the Kraftsothot!"
Good.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry. Well, this was great, and thank you guys so much for doing another one of these ridiculous specials. I love doing them every time. You
Yeah,
know,
great. Fun times.
it's
Fun time. Fun time
the
to have by
spooky
all.
season. Prime heinous time. Happy Halloween.
Happy
Happy
Halloween.
Woohoo!
Woo!
Woo!
Bye.
Happy spooky time.